Good morning, everybody. We thank God for another opportunity such as this to be able to come out and share the word with you this morning. And I'm really glad to see everybody because I did call the pastor and say, well, I may not make it. I've got these stitches in my mouth. And for the first time in a long time, I'm not speaking. Amen. But God is good. And seeing how much of a privilege it is to represent the Lord and present His word, I couldn't let that opportunity pass. So I'm glad to be here this morning. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord Father, for your presence this morning and in this place. We ask, oh God, that you would touch us in such a way that we might be receptive to the hearing of your word. For we realize, oh God, that faith comes by hearing, and without faith, Lord, it's impossible to please you. So we thank you for your word this morning, oh God, and help us, oh God, to have integrity in our walk, Lord Jesus, so that men, oh God, by looking at us, might see you, oh God, and begin to glorify you in the name of Jesus. We thank you. Amen. This morning, we're going to be coming out of the book of John, chapter 2. I like this because Pastor has taught on this over the years many times, and I hope to be able to get into a lot more detail so that the full measure of what God has to say will be received by you. We're going to begin in the second chapter of John, and we're going to begin at verse 13, and we're going to go all the way to verse 22. I'm going to be reading out of the King James Version, beginning with verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things from here, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house have eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou in us, seeing that thou dost these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou raise it up in 3 days? But he spoke of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Praise God. So you may recall that many years over time of many years, pastors taught on this many times about the money changes. What I hope to do today is just add a little more clarity of what we had received earlier. And so I want to present an introduction to you and say that this morning we will present some of the great events in the ministry of Jesus. And that after Jesus had performed his first miracle at the wedding in Cana, he traveled with his disciples and family to Capernaum, about 15 miles away. We see that in verse 12. After spending a few days, Jesus went south to Jerusalem for the Passover. That was about 80 miles away. Now, this morning, we will see a side of Jesus that we usually don't see. We think of the meek and lowly Jesus and rarely think of Jesus who was consumed with passion over the desecration of the name of his Father. In verse 13, we see that the Passover was the most important of the three great religious feasts. It was important. By the time of Christ, it had become a major spring festival. To prepare for Passover, they would prepare the roads for the great influx of people and whitewash the tombs so nobody would accidentally touch them and defile themselves. Yeah, praise the Lord to you too. Amen. Homes would be cleaned, cooking utensils washed, and the house was searched to make sure no leaven was found. Those living in Jerusalem were expected to put up guests, so they thoroughly cleaned their houses. People in Jerusalem usually dressed up in their best clothes as they were getting ready for the journey. This was a big event. There were three main festivals, but the Passover was the most important, the most sacred of them all. It was a time when Jews celebrated their deliverance from bondage in Egypt. Jews from all over the world would come to the temple in Jerusalem to present their offerings of a sheep, an ox, or a dove. The animals would be sacrificed in the temple. The fat would be burned, and the blood would be offered on the altar. The meat would be taken home and roasted and eaten by the family. It was at this time that they could pay the temple tax of a silver 1/2 shekel coin. Passover was a special time of worship, both in the temple and in the family. Families would observe the Passover. They would observe the Passover meal, which 3 years later, Jesus would eat with his disciples just before his crucifixion. Jerusalem was bustling with activity and excitement. Passover was the biggest event of the year. In verse 14, we see that Jesus went to the temple and saw merchants selling oxen, sheep, and dove. It was inconvenient for many people to bring with them on their journey to Jerusalem, so they just brought their sacrificial animals in Jerusalem. They didn't bring them with them. Some of them did. Jesus also saw the money changers, those whose job it was to exchange the money that the people brought for the special silver half shekel of the temple coin. Wait till you hear the rest. The temple had become a mall. It had become a mall for the convenience of the people, a one-stop shopping area center, everything in one place. They used the outer court for this mall. There were courts in the temple, the court of the priests. which was the inner court, where only the priests could go. The court of the Jews, where only natural-born Jews were allowed. It was this court where they handed over their sacrifice to the priests. The court of women, where the women were allowed and could go no further. The court of the Gentiles was outside, and it was a large open area that they had turned into a shopping mall or a super Walmart. When Jesus came to the temple, he saw the booths set up for the merchants and the money changer. What was the problem? The marketplace had moved into the temple area, and the temple of God had been dishonored. Instead of worship, prayer, and praise, Jesus found a feeding frenzy of corruption and greed. Annas, the high priest, has sold franchises for the concession stands to the highest bidder. He was making a killing. The merchants were charging inflated prices for the oxen. They also did this for the sheep and doves. If you brought your own oxen, sheep, or dove, the priest would tell you that it was unclean and you had to purchase one of their clean animals. Then they would go around and sell your unclean animal to someone else as a clean animal. The money changers would cheat the people by charging them unfair exchange rates for their foreign coins. What Jesus saw was greed, corruption, and the wickedness being carried out right there in the temple of God, in the court of the Gentiles. Now, the court of the Gentiles was a place set aside for those who were not born Jewish, but had converted to Judaism. They had seen that Jehovah God was the one and only true God, and they renounced their pagan ways and turned to God of the Jews. Proselytes were looked upon by the Jews as being in a lower class. For a Gentile to become a Jew, he had to be circumcised, baptized, and offer a sacrifice. After his baptism, he was given a Jewish name, and he had to cut off all ties with his own family, even his wife, if she did not convert. Jesus looked upon these Gentiles as a very special people. He did that in the eyes of God. The Jews thought by their faith or by their birth, they inhabited a place in God's kingdom. They thought that all God required was themselves. They feel that by their birth, they had inherited in God's kingdom a place for themselves. Now, I want to share something with you. We're talking about the integrity of the Lord's house. I want to tell you, right here in Rochester, I have been to churches where there were vending machines and soda machines and ATMs. Right here in Rochester. Is that right? Now, the Gentiles, they weren't born Jews. They chose to become Jews because they chose to serve and honor God, the God of the Jews. They had sacrificed to come into God's family. They wanted to worship God in his temple, but they were considered unclean, so they had to stay outside. Thank God that It doesn't matter who you are today. Hallelujah. You can come into God's house. Amen. And if you will acknowledge him, he will bless you. Amen. Okay. Now, God told us what he wanted of us. We present as people of integrity, but in the night and in your house and in places where nobody sees you, you're still doing your own thing. We talk about the lottery. There's a lot of God people, a lot of people who profess to being Christ that are doing things that he would not approve of. Okay? When Jesus came into the temple, you have to remember he had left the disciples. He had left Cana after he did the first miracle at that wedding, specifically to go down to Jerusalem, which was approximately 80 miles away, for the sole purpose of being able to enter into the temple and to praise God, Jehovah. Amen. He didn't have to make sacrifices, but he wanted to honor the name of his Father. When he got there, and I want you to think of what it would be like if you returned from work or you returned from church and found your own house in that state where your children were exchanging money and robbing the people. How would you feel? Not good. I would go further to say that you would become enraged because you would feel that your house had been desecrated. Your house had been defiled. Now, God doesn't want a dirty house. Now, I'm not so much talking about the physical. It's more about the spiritual. Words say that them who worship God must do so in spirit and in truth. There's no deception. You are what you see. I am what you see. Okay? And there has to be, in the way that we live, something about us that would let anybody who sees us know who we belong to. If you don't see it, ask the Lord for a measure of discernment, because we all have been given that. And it's just that all of us have not trusted the Lord enough to use it on a continual basis. The Holy Spirit, one of his attributes, is to lead and guide us into all truth. People can't really lie to you if you're looking into the spirit of that person. You'll see the truth. But if you profess to be one of God's chosen people, then you must live your life in such a way as to allow your light to shine. And in that way, people will know who you serve. Amen. So, Jesus was appalled at what he saw taking place in the court of the Gentiles. Now, in verse 15, I want you to notice that Jesus didn't all of a sudden lose it. He didn't fly off the handle while he was walking around observing the chaos. He probably picked up some of the leather cords that were lying around, and he used it to tie the animals. While he was walking, he must have been tying them together into a small whip. Now, Jesus was hearing all this commotion, the arguing over the exchange rate, the bargaining over the price of the animals, the angry voices of those who were being cheated. Jesus was smelling the stench of the livestock market, stepping over the manure, sidestepping the path of the oxen and sheep. Jesus was watching the greed of the merchants and the cheating, profiting, circus-like atmosphere. Now you remember, this is the best and the highest feast of the year. So Jesus got angry. That's a side of him we don't see much of. Jesus got angry. This wasn't the way God's house was supposed to be treated. Amen. I sometimes wonder what God thinks of his church in the 21st century. What does God think about the church today? Have we gotten off the path that he wanted us to follow? Have we turned his house into a social club, and are we just going through the motions of worship? Have we lost focus on the true worship of our Heavenly Father? Someone has said, we worship our work. Work at our play, and play at our worship. Shortly before Jesus was crucified, he went into Jerusalem. And again, he found his Father's house being desecrated. He cleaned it out again. Listen to what he said. In Matthew 21, verses 12 through 13. We see that God's plan for his house to be a house of prayer. This is what it was, its purpose was. A special place. A place of worship and praise. In the 16th verse on chapter 2 of John, he says, my Father's house, the Jews had taken over the court of the Gentiles, then from worship. All the buying and selling were a distraction from true worship. Can you imagine that? We come into God's house. We want to leave all our concerns out the door. We don't want to be all over the place with the things that go on in our mind. We want to be centered and focused for the sole purpose of giving God all that we have. Amen. We're in the place that has been dedicated for the purpose of praise and worship. But how would you feel in the attempt to enter into the mind of Jesus and you got all these people around you playing the lottery, exchanging money, cheating the people out of the sacrifices? How'd you feel about that? All the buying and selling was a distraction from true worship. Amen. No longer could it be said for the Gentile or the Jews, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. They could no longer say that because of the things that were going on in the temple. Could you imagine that? The Lord says that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves as is the manner of some. We should come out because it's good that when brothers and sisters dwell together. Amen. Okay? But if we had going on in our churches today, some of the things that we describe here, how many would be still willing to come out and worship? It would be almost impossible to enter into true worship because of the distractions of those other things going around.